Thank you for listening to this DuPont Media production, available on all major podcast platforms. This is Rod Peterson on demand. Your comments make the show better. Send us your thoughts live on our Facebook channel to be the star of today's show. Can't catch us live? Hit us up on our other social media channels to have your say. For now, welcome to the Rod Peterson Show.
Hey, good morning, Canada and Canadian sports fans around the world. Welcome to the Rod Peterson Show on this Monday, October the 7th. Where the sun has come out here in Western Canada.
Yeah, it has.
Isn't that wonderful?
That's amazing.
Isn't it lovely?
Paul was giving me grief because I got the shorts on. I'm like, it's going to be 20 degrees this afternoon. Yeah.
I got shorts on, too. Just keep the feet off the desk, all right? I noticed that.
My bad.
Yeah. Show number 89 of the program today. As the man said, Rick Regan said, our big voice guy, I'm Rod Peterson. He's Darren DuPont. If I'm Jay-Z, he's Beyonce.
Fabulous.
I heard a laugh coming from the other side of the building. That was Mike Abumeshrick, the 10-year CFLer. Will be in here in the bunker coming up. The former Rider, Bomber, and Renegade, and Grey Cup champion. Speaking of champions, I'm excited about today's program for a lot of reasons. Damon Allen.
Oh.
One of the greatest of all time will be joining us. For our American viewers, he is the brother of Pro Football Hall of Famer Marcus Allen. Damon's the Canadian Football Hall of Famer. And when he retired from the CFL, he was the all-time leading passer in pro football, period. Damon Allen will be with us from Toronto. The voice of the Vancouver Canucks, Brendan Batchelor, will be with us. I'm excited to have Brendan on. And a very special guest today in the bunker, which my phone's been blowing up for the last couple of days since we announced it. Sarah Kalana, who really needs no introduction, in this town known as Mrs. John Ryan, in America known as a two-time New York Times bestselling author, Netflix star, Hollywood comedian. She'll be right here in the bunker.
That's exciting.
And she tweeted to her 250,000 Twitter followers yesterday that she's looking forward to coming on. So I had to tell the Expendables, our crew, be on your best behavior, guys. Put the toilet seat down. Tuck your shirt in.
It's a big deal.
Because, yeah, we don't get lovelies come through here very often.
Going to be a lady on
the
set.
There's going to be a lady in the house, you guys. Number 89s. People are already rolling with that. Nelson from Phoenix writing in the 89 Grey Cup for show 89. It's show 89. So legendary 89. Well, talk about the Calgary Flames Stanley Cup win, if you will. Hello to our Calgary viewers, of course. We got our Dino's bucket here on the table. Chris Getzlaff, obviously, my favorite all-time 89. Followed closely by Daron Carter.
I was wondering how close Daron would be.
Yeah, followed very closely by Daron Carter. Curtis Mayfield, Clarence Denmark, and there have been several people chiming in already with their favorite number 89s. Do you have one?
I don't have a favorite 89. I don't. Alex McGillney comes to mind. It came up on the Facebook feed, too. That's a good one.
Buffalo Sabres, great.
Yeah. Well, he had a stop with the Leafs.
Mm-hmm.
And he was good. But, yeah, there's lots of good 89s. Football will be full of them. Steve Smith, I think, was 89.
Yeah.
There's a few.
We opened the Prairie Mobile text line, 840-8777. It's open for business. 306-840-8777 for any thoughts you may have coming out of a very busy sports weekend, but also your favorite 89s, if you will, and our poll question, which we'll get to shortly. You can chime in on that. But just reading the morning sports break, Russell Martin homered and drove in four runs in his first appearance of this year's postseason, leading the Dodgers to a 10-4 win over the Washington Nationals in Game 3 of the NLDS Sunday. That gives the Dodgers a 2-1 lead in the best-of-five series over the Montreal Expos. They can close it out tonight.
Yeah.
The Braves have the upper hand in their NLDS against St. Louis. They scored three runs in the top of the ninth for a 3-1 comeback win and a 2-1 series lead. Calgary's Mike Soroka started the game for the Braves, but didn't factor into the decision. He allowed one run and two hits through seven innings. Well, a lot of Calgary shutouts early on today. And you're surprised I started with baseball.
That's okay. It's playoffs.
Yeah, exactly. Aaron Jones scored a career-high four touchdowns, and the Packers hung on for a 34-24 victory over America's team in America's stadium. No, you were doing the Thunder game, so you didn't see that. I was flipping back and forth between the Cowboys, the Thunder, you were calling that, flirted with the idea of going to Moose Jaw, decided better of it. I just want to say Cowboys coach Chasen Garrett flagged for objectionable conduct, abuse of an official. Did you see that?
I missed that.
15 yards.
I missed that.
And everybody in Dallas is complaining about officiating with the Cowboys just 10-point loss to the Packers. The officials didn't make you miss the field goals that Brett Maher missed. The officials didn't throw three picks like Dak did. Oh, they were awful.
I feel like we're in the same place this morning.
The Titans were, well, is it the refs' fault the Titans lost?
No.
To the Bills?
No. One, I mean, they threw a touch. Mariota threw a touchdown, and I was watching, like, I think he's over the line of scrimmage. And I found out to be over the line of scrimmage, which I didn't know this, your entire body has to be past the line of scrimmage.
Not just a foot.
Not just the ball, not just the foot. So his back heel, right close to the line of scrimmage. And they ruled that he was over, so the touchdown was incomplete. And it was voided, and you lost the down. But when they looked at it, even the rules of expert on this staff, like, I think he's on the broadcast. I think he's onside. But it was so close that there wasn't conclusive enough to overturn it. So there's a touchdown off the board. And the kicker missed four field goals.
Right.
Four of them, and you lost by seven.
Well, at least you're not blaming the refs.
No.
Like the Cowboys. And just
they
not
played well against one of the best defenses in the NFL.
Not letting them off the hook. The Cowboys nor the Titans. By the way, people are writing in about our poll question here. Hang on. I got to call up my Twitter account. It's a good one. To the CFL, because everybody's just chomping at the bit, if you will, to get to the CFL. So week 17, here's what went down. Riders, of course, beating Winnipeg 21-6 at Mosaic Stadium. Friday night football, Hamilton destroyed Edmonton 42-12. Montreal upset Calgary 21-17. Viva la Montreal!
Yeah.
They're alive in Montreal, Alouettes fans. Rumors of their death, premature.
Yes.
And how about those Stampeders, which we'll get into all that. Mike Abou-Meshra coming into the bunker to join us to talk about that. BC Lions walloping the Toronto Argonauts 55-8. And after the Rider game, we went to a local establishment. I watched, a friend of mine with the Argos, did you watch the game? I said, I watched the first half until it was very evident that it was over.
Yes.
So I turned my attention to the company at the table. And he said you didn't miss anything other than a late touchdown by the Argos. So some of the points coming out of week 17 for me that we'll talk about today. Can the Riders hold on to first place? You know, a bit of a problem there for me is how much everybody's celebrating around here. I had a text from a guy, West Division champs. No, no, they're not. You know, and people are going crazy far too soon about it. I understand it's rare around here to be in first place this late, but hold on to your bingo cards. Is Corey Chamblin that bad of a head coach?
Yeah, that's tough.
It pains me to say that. I did some digging yesterday, poked around with some friends with the Argos, and they said, no, the players love Chamblin. The thought here is that we don't have the horses. And a complete top-to-bottom house cleaning sounds like it's coming.
Wow.
And that would be unfortunate for Corey Chandler, I think, who's probably wondering, why did I come back to the CFL? Why did I do this?
Yeah.
The Montreal Alouettes swept the Calgary Stampeders. They swept them in their two-game season series. Now, the head-scratcher to me was that the Stampeders had 547 yards offense in the game on Saturday.
Yeah.
That's one of those games where you get on the plane and fly home and go, how the hell did we lose that?
Yeah.
But yeah, they did.
Yeah.
What are you looking at?
Nelson's comment. And it's funny. He's talking about the Argos social media team.
Pretty funny,
and
yeah.
Despite the struggles, they are pretty great. And he points out the one where they just scratched out the scores on the Twitter feed and put a picture of a dog. They're great. And the other one they put out was, we don't know what to say, TBH, to be honest. And the comments, everybody's just supporting these guys. Maybe, and they're like, maybe you guys can play, like the guys running the social media account.
That was the Argos,
in my mind,
Twitter guy.
They are by far the best social media team in the CFL. Through this tough times and to keep the Argos somewhat relevant, they're doing a great job. So hats off to the social
star of the
media
week,
team.
Star of the weekend, maybe we should do that.
Yeah.
The MVP of the weekend, the Argos Twitter guy.
That's a great,
that's funny.
Great idea.
And of course, the Ticats have achieved 12 wins. That's equaling a franchise high. They've never won more than 12. So this talk about, is this the best Ticats team ever, actually does hold water.
It does.
If you will. But if they don't win a Grey Cup, you will not be in that discussion. So I still don't like the talk right now, but you guys talk about whatever you want. And the BC Lions have won four in a row And look, maybe it's a coincidence, maybe it's not, but Kelly Bates rolls into town. In his first game, they put up a they put up 16 in Montreal 5 weeks ago. They were decent, and then they haven't lost since.
Yeah.
And it's really looking like they could catch the Edmonton Eskimos.
It does. It looks like they can catch the Eskimos. Hold out hope. It is exciting times in BC. And for me, they're almost must-see TV every week because now I want to see if they can catch them. We love pulling for the underdog, and there's a shot.
Wayne in Victoria, BC, watching today says, Calgary had, I believe, 4 turnovers. That's how they lost. Actually, I believe it was 5. I did read the stat sheet after the game. But coming out of all of this, and in the next segment, did I see Lumpy in the house? Brett McNeil is here, Bomber great. Mike Abomeshrick is here, Bomber great.
Bomber Mondays.
Bomber Mondays a boost. Oh, I can hear it.
Yeah.
I can hear it echoing. You'll adjourn and those guys will come in and we'll talk about this poll question and where the Bombers stand. Today's Capital Auto Mall Universal Collision Center poll question is this. Which top 4 team will be the most active at Wednesday's CFL trade deadline? The Calgary Stampeders, Hamilton Tiger Cats, Saskatchewan Rough Riders, Winnipeg Blue Bombers. Those are the teams with the top 4 records in the CFL. And based on our Facebook poll, 87.3% say the Winnipeg Blue Bombers. On Twitter, 82% say it's Winnipeg. And they're the runaway winners. All the others are single-digit vote-getters. The Bombers have to do something if they're going to save their season.
Yes, I agree.
Everybody agrees it. So the question is now, what?
Yeah, because if you're talking about saving their season, it's not getting a quarterback.
No?
Because you're riding with Chris Trevler.
Are you?
Getting a quarterback protects their season, doesn't save it. It protects you if Strevler goes down. I still think they're all in on Strevler.
Well, you really also think people should sign Zach Caleros, and I think for that you should have your head examined.
No, I think that wouldn't be a bad idea as a backup. But not to play and not to win you a championship as an insurance
If you're
policy.
Signing him as a backup, you're expecting him to play at some point. That's what I think.
Well, you're just taking that opportunity. Why do you get house insurance? Not because right. you expect your house to light on fire, right? Just in case it happens.
Fair enough.
So then at least you're not completely in a bad spot. I know he's not. I know you always need an insurance policy for your insurance policy with Zach Caleros. But yeah, I think they need to do something. Maybe it's something in the, you know, we've talked to some guys who are out there. Maybe it's a free agent, a veteran to help shore up that secondary a little bit, in Winnipeg, but they've got something that they need to do, to make sure that they can save their season because it's going the wrong way.
We'll get into this with Abu and Lumpy next segment. A couple last things. Kenton Keith has gone public with his campaign to have his number retired by the Rough, or not his number, for him to retire as a Rough Rider, and he has tweeted that the team will not allow it to happen. Kenton has gone public with that. So we'll talk about that
later. Yeah, and the other one I wanted to get in, actually, in the warm-up was Duke Williams.
Had a touchdown.
Scored a touchdown. Yeah. And they loved him on the broadcast. He looked really good. Caught some big passes over the middle. Still a big target. And I think he's going to have some success. He had not a lot of time. He had a short week to get ready. Kind of came onto the lineup at the last minute and looked really, really good.
All right. So those are our topics. So we'll see you back here for overtime.
All right.
And don't forget, everybody. Sarah Kalana, Mrs. John Ryan, here in the bunker in hour 2, the star of the Netflix special Insatiable. It's not a special, it's fantastic. We binge watched it last night. Hollywood comedian, New York Times bestseller, Sarah Kalana in the bunker in hour 2. But this has been the warm up. We got a couple of ballers in here next segment. Damon Allen coming up in hour 1, too. This is the Rod Peterson Show on Facebook Live and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
Our biggest sale of the year has returned. The greatest auto sale is back at Capital Ford Lincoln. We have over 800 new and used vehicles to choose from with savings up to $19,000. And for a limited time, we're offering finance rates as low as 0% on new vehicles and 1.9% on used vehicles. Buy or lease a new or used vehicle during the greatest auto sale for your chance to win your payments for a whole year. Run down, walk down, bust down, or fly down. Just get yourself down to Capital's greatest auto sale.
Houston, we have a problem.
Join Rod and the gang in Houston this December. Rod Peterson's VIP sports experience with Uniglobe Travel. Enjoy 5 nights in beautiful Houston, Texas with the Rod Peterson Show. See the Houston Texans and the Denver Broncos on NFL Sunday. Plus, the Houston Rockets and exciting NBA action and so much more. Visit rodpeterson.com for more information and to sign up now.
Nestled in the scenic Qu'Appelle Valley, just 20 minutes northwest of Regina, is one of the finest golf courses in all of Saskatchewan, the Deer Valley Golf Club. The clubhouse has a full-service restaurant, and customers can enjoy a casual dining experience with spectacular views of the golf course and valley. A fully stocked golf shop, staffed by PGA of Canada professionals, is equipped to meet all of your golf apparel and equipment needs. Book your tee time, family event, or corporate tournament today at the Deer Valley Golf Club. Call 306-731-1445 or log on to deervalleygolf.ca.
This isn't just a beer. This is a double-aged, never-back-down, full-of-heart Western beer. This is a beer brewed by 16 guys who risked it all. Original 16. Underdogs since 1989.
Laid back and kicking it, let's head back to the studio. Here's Rod.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, on this Monday morning, episode number 89 of the show. Brady is watching in Saskatoon this morning, and he is ducked out from his high school class to point out Clarence Denmark. Did we mention him earlier? NHLers Sam Gagner and Alex Tuch for players that have worn number 89 on this, the 89th episode of the show. Now, we really got people's attention when we said Sarah Kalana will be in the bunker here today on this Monday. It's hour two. Sarah will be right here. Mrs. John Ryan, the Netflix star, Hollywood comedian, best-selling author. I can't wait. She tweeted yesterday that she can't wait. As Lynch would say, it's just going to be fantastic. But you've tuned in here this morning for Football Talk. That's what we do here on these Mondays. We got a couple former Bombers. Well, how perfect timing it is, really, for Mike Abomeshrick and Brett McNeil to join us in here. Brett, making his Rod Peterson Show debut. How are you, sir?
I'm doing awesome. Thanks for bringing me in, and it's great to be on the mic with you again.
Well, I got to thank Abu for the invite. You guys are pretty tight, eh, Abu? Maybe tell the folks the history between you two.
Like, you want me to make him cry, or just like the
the good history? No,
Brett took me under his wing. I really sucked my rookie year, but you know, I was really good at holding bags and filling in for guys that just had knee surgeries. So in that year where I was holding bags and stuff, he taught me how to kind of play football and put together 9 years after that. So
1999 in Winnipeg.
Brett and Vic Stevenson. Brett wasn't there for a training camp, but Vic Stevenson, everyone knows who he is. He took me aside and kind of, he was the guy that kept me around, and Brett built me up, I guess.
The funny part was, is we were in Edmonton, and we were really hopeful that we'd end up back in Winnipeg, because Jeff Reinbold had moved me over to the Eskimos when he took over the reins and with the Bombers, and blew up my knee at Edmonton. Never played for the Eskimos, thank goodness, and was just waiting around for them to pull the trigger on a waiver wire, because I'd failed the physical in Edmonton. And we're watching the sports news, my wife and I, and we see a young buck wearing my old jersey number 57 in Winnipeg's training camp. And the first thing we, you know, remarked on was, well, we're going to have to have a little talk with that fellow if I go back. So I think.
So you switched your number, obviously.
She said, well, at least he's good looking.
Yeah, he's glamming that jersey number right up.
Because anyone that wears a 7 is obviously, they put
hot,
the most handsome men
right
with a 7 in.
Well, the reason I say the timing's good, and Brett, you may or may not know, but Winnipeg is our third highest city for viewers behind Regina and Saskatoon, for whatever reason. Maybe they don't get enough Bomber coverage there. I don't know.
Yep.
But so Saturday's game here, 21-6, it was a lot tighter than that all game. I mean, obviously you watched it. Were you here for it, or were you watching it?
I was here. I made the trek out Saturday morning. I wasn't able to make the Labor Day Classic, so I wanted to come out and hang out with my Rider alumni boys up in the lounge and take in the Bomber game. And yeah, it was a pivotal game. And you know, there are games in every season that lead to championships or losing championships that are crucial, and they're games you have to win. And in my opinion, this was a big game for the Riders to win, because you take the season series now. So if there is a tie at some point, you get that that advantage over the Bombers. So it was a huge, huge win. Bombers are running through a tough stretch right now. You don't want to be the team that they break out of that funk with. And I think it was a hard-nosed effort by particularly the Rider defense to make those interceptions. So those are spectacular plays in the scoring zone. If those picks didn't occur, it might have been a different result.
What was your take on the game? Do you view it through a green lens or a blue lens, or both?
Everyone always asks me that, and I don't know. Like you'll see.
Were you cheering for somebody?
My heart cheers for who it wants to. It cheers for good.
Well,
yeah,
I know you never know when you walk in. It's just how you actually feel during the game.
I end up cheering for great plays. When people do well, I cheer for that. So if a guy makes a great interception as the DB, the great play, I'll cheer for the DB. I'm not cheering against the quarterback. I'm cheering against the guy that made the great play because, man, it feels good to make great plays, you know? Just cheering for the
absolutely. Like emotion rules, right? It's like if you're watching a Super Bowl, you're watching a Grey Cup, and your team's not in it. You let the game play out, and usually your emotion will go one way or the other. When you're playing, you sort of root for other teammates. So if you don't, you don't make it to the big game. You know, a guy that, when Mike was playing for the Riders in 07, even though they're beating on the Bombers, I was really excited for Mike that he won that championship. That was the first image I saw was Mike hoisting the cup because I couldn't watch the game. I was too nervous. But nowadays, we're older now, so now it's sort of coaches and general managers we're buddies with.
Right, no kidding.
Montreal's our new favorite team Kahari
and Montreal. But I mean, Jeremy O'Day and, with the Riders. I mean, Jeremy was a young players rep in Toronto when I was sort of an old player rep in Winnipeg. And, we sort of hit it off at some of those PA meetings. And, so proud of what he's done. One of the few players left that I got to coach was Brendan Labatt. And I tell you what, the last two games with Labatt back in the lineup, he has shored that group up. I mean, they were having a heck of a season. Now there's going to be less mental errors, less communication errors in that group. I'm not seeing free rushers coming in the last two games. So good for the Riders on getting it, being patient with Brendan and getting them back in for the stretch run.
I actually made note of that last week. I ended up behind the Rider bench at the Argo game somehow.
In Toronto,
and I'm just listening to him and Dan Clark go over it. Like, a lot of people don't see the game, get to see the game that way, and most people wouldn't understand what the heck anyone's talking about because there's a lot of yelling and pointing, but I got shivers on my back, and that's exactly what was going on as those two were getting everyone in line. And it looked like a couple dogs barking at other dogs, but they're making sure all the dogs are headed in the right direction.
Well, it's like herding cats before the snap of the ball because the defense can move around as much as they want pre-snap. And that's where a lot of coordinators sort of don't grasp that because guess what? The playbook basically goes out the window at the snap of the ball because those X's and O's move. So if you can communicate on your offensive line and account for last-minute changes, that's how you're successful. And that's where I look at BC where there were free rushers taking a licking on Mike Riley all season until the last couple weeks. Now they're communicating and look at the resultant success. I mean, that's what it's all about.
Well, you talk about greats. Kelly Bates was a Bomber too for a time.
Yes.
Right. And I just look at what's going on in BC and you go, well, they were 1-11 or whatever they were. And now they've won 4 in a row. What changed? Kelly going in there. And you would think it would be more than that. Their line plays changed, so maybe Brian Chu being fired, and everybody loves Chewy,
yep,
just woke everybody up. Is there a chance that that was the case in BC?
Well, absolutely. I mean, it's easier to fire a coach than fire the players, and I know the Lions spent big money on that group. I mean, you have a lot of former NFLers in that group, in Boyko as one of them, but they weren't performing up to expectations. Sometimes it just takes another coach to come in, maybe take some pressure off or exert some pressure, change the communication structure. If you're overcomplicating communications, again, if one out of five is off the page, someone's getting hurt. A rule I used to have with my players that I coached was if you're on a double team, most likely someone's free. And you see it at all levels of football. I saw it in the NFL yesterday. We have you have two or three blockers on one defender. Well, guess what? Someone's coming in free and hitting the quarterback. So if you can get a hat on a hat and take care of those first five blockers closest to the football, gives you a chance.
You're just nodding, Abu. Do you have anything to add?
I got to say all that in my segment that we're filming after this. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Well, look, we've got in 2 minutes, Damon Allen. Assuming the technology works for Damon, Damon will be joining us. So it's not every day we get Brett McNeil in the bunker. So that's where most of the questions are going to go. You saw our poll question, who's going to be the most active leading up to the trade deadline? And over 80% are saying that it'll be the Winnipeg Blue Bombers. People think they need a quarterback. Last I saw, Mike O'Shea steadfastly saying, we don't. Where are you on this team if they're going to win a Grey Cup? What do they got to do?
Winnipeg has invested in Chris Trevler. He's going to be, he's a pending free agent, as is Matt Nichols. But all season long, Strevler was the exciting option. Strevler brought an energy that I didn't see when Matt Nichols was in the lineup. Matt is having a career year. It's very unfortunate that a tackle got beat and Lemon took him out. But that stuff happens in our game. So I know there was a lot of excitement around Strevler. Now, the thing is, the perception is that the package has been scaled down for Chris. So what I would do is I would bring in somebody as a backup, just as an emergency. That player is not going to be able to learn the playbook that quickly. So what you have to do is you have to tweak things for Strelva, not reduce the package just for Chris, because the opposing defensive coordinators will chew that up. What you need to do is maybe create something new for Chris Strelva. You need to move away from the run-pass option where the ball is visible for the defense. You have to create some deception where you maybe are rolling him out, having him hide the football on his hip so that the defense doesn't know which back's got the ball. If you can get him moving on a rollout, you get him moving the pocket with the weapons that they have, Chris Trevler could be very successful. But you can't plug him into Matt Nichols' offense and expect the same results. He's got a different skill set. So I think they'd be okay with Chris, but they have to tweak what they're doing with him.
Yeah, I think Winnipeg's in trouble. I don't think you can say you can fool people every time, because you know what? I might be able to fool you once, but if you know I'm going to fool you, well, maybe not you, Roddy. Brett, if you know I'm going to fool you, yeah, I'm probably not going to be able to do it. Maybe I'll be able to do it once. I'm not going to be able to do it twice, let alone 50 times you need to do it to be successful in a football game. I think they're going to they need to do something. This is their year. Because going back to who am I cheering for, the first two games I was cheering for the Bombers because I thought this was their chance to do it. Last game, my heart was with the Riders taking over first place. And in so, they passed the baton for my cheering powers the rest of the way. I don't think Winnipeg can do it.
Well, I mean, you look at what the Riders have done with Fajardo. I mean, he is a quarterback that you could compare in a lot of ways to Strevler. He's a much stronger passer, but he makes plays with his feet, and that's where Strevler is dangerous. And so, like I said, I don't see any type of counterplay going on with Winnipeg. I don't see the boots off of those counters. I don't see enough play action. I don't see enough opportunities for Strevler to run on the outside of the blocking scheme versus up the middle. Because I know as a change-up quarterback in the past, they've run him between the tackles. I think he's starting to get banged up a little bit. His running style seems to have been hampered a little bit. But I would get him outside and work that with that 65 yards that we have in our league. And that definitely could think he'd be effective. And again, you know, there was a lot of hype around Willie Jefferson and that defensive line right before they went into their funk. Where have those guys been? I mean, I know that the Riders have a heck of an offensive line. I got to meet a couple of the guys this weekend. I mean, these guys are dinosaurs. You know, they're gonna provide protection for Fajardo when they need to. But Winnipeg's defensive line has to take some responsibility in some of that back end pressure. So I mean, you know, we're linemen guys. We play the line. We're gonna put it all on the defense and offensive line. I think that if the defensive front in Winnipeg can start getting that pressure again, and they can do something with Strevler, they have a shot, especially when the snow starts flying.
Well, it sets up a salacious matchup this Friday, Riders at Calgary Stampeders. And obviously the Riders are viewing the Bombers now in their rearview mirror. They've clinched that season series, as you mentioned. The Bombers have slipped to third. And I guess we'll not necessarily move on to that game, but let's talk about the Riders because that's where the bulk of our viewers come from. And Abu, I'll start with you because you are a Rider alum. With Fajardo, I just think he sees the field so much better than Chris Strevler. He is as patient as he needs to be, but he didn't see anything downfield the other night, so he took off for 47 yards rushing. He's obviously very tough, and I think there's a reason, because our viewers are very smart and our listeners. The Riders are voted the least likely to make trades prior to the deadline because I don't see them needing anything.
Yeah,
they're that solid.
What are you going to trade for? They got some receivers, so trade them for what? You know, like I don't see them needing anything. But I said there was a snoozer. That first half, I saw you at half, about halftime. That first half,
it's all field goals.
It was, oh my gosh. And Luke was like, oh no, I love defensive battles. I'm like, get out of here and go call the game. Go back to the calling the game. It was just a snooze show. But what do we keep saying every week? That's the type of a game the Riders need to be in. Last time they got together with the Bombers, they got blown out. Riders don't have that kind of offense where, and Fajardo's not that kind of guy just to chuck it up, like Strevler, I guess that's where they match up, and just chuck it down 100 times and have a receiver run under. It's not that kind of guy. He's a smart quarterback, knows where the pockets are, knows when to pull it down and run, knows game management and in the positive thing. I think he's probably closer to Nichols and now that I think of it. But it was a snoozer. It was a close game. The Riders need those kinds of games because they'll win that kind. They have that kind of offense. They have that kind of defense, and they've building that kind of character. If you want to call this last game a blowout for the Riders because they won by double digits. I'm always talking about winning games different ways. That's not really how I saw it. But ticket into the blowout column as well. It was the kind of game that the Riders need and the Bombers need with Strevler in there. You know, chipping away, chipping away, chipping away. Have a long run. Have a defensive stop, defensive interceptions, and then go downhill from there. Check, 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 check. On the Rider side for me. Everything was good. Everything
and then so they got to go in and face Calgary in their park on Friday, and they don't necessarily need to win by 28 points to finish first, but they need to win by 28 to clinch that season series. That's a tall order going into Calgary. And Brett, I don't know if you saw much of the Stamps-Montreal game. I saw, I think, the first quarter and a bit. And by that point, you had no idea which way the game was going to go. But 547 yards offense, and you lose.
Yeah,
that shouldn't happen in the CFL.
Levi Mitchell is, I mean, he's Bo. It's Bo being Bo. But turnovers can change the momentum of any game. And many of the best teams in football have gone into Montreal with the associated distractions and had a tough time.
Good time, too. Woo! I mean, what?
Well, they got some great restaurants there. And, you know, it's great.
Right. It's taken down many a good man.
You know, it's taken down many a good man who are looking for that Barbie Barnes, you know, chicken. Or
that's a rib place, steak, not a strip joint. Just for those.
Barbie Barn is chicken and ribs, and
sounds like a strip joint, but it's not.
That was one of our places for pregame meals.
What kind of strip joints are you going to?
None.
Sorry to interrupt you. Continue.
None, but you know, it's a tough place to win, and I mean Calgary right now. You know, they're not what they were a year ago, but they're still dangerous. And what's really exciting, the way the schedule. Is the way it's lining up is, you know, you have a home and home between Winnipeg and Calgary. You've got the Riders in Calgary. It is shaping up to be an epic finish to the regular season. Every game is meaningful. That's what you want. It's not like, you know, when half the league is eliminated by the halfway mark of the season. You know, we're playing meaningful football. And to consider that the BC Lions are still alive, still have a pulse, That's the type of results that makes our league so exciting, and it's going to go right to the wire. I mean, right now Saskatchewan's sitting in the top spot. They're going to have to keep taking care of their business to stay there because you know it's going to take a lot of effort to clinch. And Montreal, you know, it's exciting for the league that Kahari Jones has rejuvenated that squad, that Vernon Adams is doing everything that everyone predicted he could do but hadn't seen the results yet. A quarterback like that, who's hot, who gives confidence to his team, it's unstoppable. And, you know, compare it to Kahari Jones coming into Winnipeg in 2000. I mean, he takes over for Kerwin Bell. We go into Hamilton in the semifinal. They're the defending cup champions. We beat them over there. And then, you know, it was an unnecessary roughness call or a missed call on Ed Filion taking out Kahari Jones on an interception that, you know, with Winnipeg leading by 16 in the Eastern Final. And then they end up beating us. So, I mean, it's a tough place to play.
We beat the shit out of Filion for the next, like, 3 years because of that, I think.
Well, Ed was a heck of a player.
He got the last laugh.
Great guy, though.
Heck of a player, but I got pulled out of the game for arrest by our line coach in the first play out of the lineup. Guess what? We're up 16. I guess we're getting overconfident. There's a pick, and all of a sudden, Kahari Jones is on a stretcher. So, so after that, what we did was he instituted a personal protector. So if there was an interception, you know, I'm not going to make a tackle, so I would just hang out with Kahari, and if anyone, you know, tried to block him, which defensive players will do on a pick, they'd have to get through me first. So when I coach, there's always a personal protector for the quarterback on interceptions, something that maybe Vernon Adams might have had to avoid that Big Hill fiasco.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause why is your quarterback tangling with the middle linebacker on a pick?
He had to use a helmet to defend himself.
Hey, you know what? He's just defending himself against a, you know, it was supposed to be a stronger, bigger player. So,
By the way, we've got a viewer, Curtis in Kansas, watching this morning. He says, can you bring up the Curtis comment from Kansas, if you don't mind? They switched it on me. He says, for the Riders to clinch first, where did it go? Well, first of all, our director of scouting, Craig Smith. While we find that, Craig Smith writes in, saw Brent McNeil coach on my scouting travels, always loved his work, always wondered why he didn't get into pro coaching. Great analysis on the show. So that's from our director of scouting, Smitty, well, who you know. Yes, he's a regular on this show. Yep. And I think they lost it. They lost it. But Curtis in Kansas had the magic numbers for the Rough Riders to clinch first in the CFL West, which, here it is, to finish... Why does it have the magic number to finish second? We don't want the magic number to finish second.
Yeah, I don't think this
math!
This game in Calgary is going to be important, but I mean, there's 4 weeks left, and each one is like the most important game of the year. I don't think the records are, I don't think it's going to be tied for top spot. I think it's all up in the air, like Brett's saying.
Yeah.
Take care of your business. But I'm nervous that I'm always aware of trends. You know, if you start the year off cold like BC, 18 games is a long time. You know, if you start off the year hot like Winnipeg, 18 games is hot. The Riders started off cold, built momentum in the middle. Now they got to finish strong, and you know.
Slow and steady wins the race.
It's hard to do. It's hard to keep and that's what scares me about Calgary is they lost last week. So I think whoever they play this week is in Calgary doesn't lose twice.
There's a lot to be said
for
that.
They don't lose twice in a row.
We got to pause. We'll be back in a moment. By the way, people still wondering, when is Sarah Kalana coming into the bunker? She'll be in hour two. Mrs. John Ryan, the Netflix star, Hollywood comedian, and New York Times bestselling author, right here in the bunker in hour two. But we'll be right back with a sports update after the break. It's the Rod Peterson Show, episode number 89 on this Monday on Facebook Live. Listen live at rodpeterson.com. And don't forget to subscribe to our YouTube channel.
Just because you're out in the country, surrounded by fields of green, living sky sunrises and sunsets, shouldn't limit you from connecting to the world. Fast, reliable, and affordable internet for rural Saskatchewan. SaskTel Fusion from Prairie Mobile, your SaskTel authorized dealer. Invite the whole world in. Sign up for SaskTel Fusion today for just $99.99, including basic install. Prairie Mobile, your SaskTel authorized dealer. Lives fully connected.
Universal Collision Center is Saskatchewan's premier auto body shop. Our extensive process ensures that every vehicle that comes through our state-of-the-art facilities is returned pre-accident condition and that every UCC customer experience is an easy one. We're certified to repair all makes, all models, and all luxury brands, and Universal Auto Spa offers full-service detailing packages to suit you and your vehicle. Plus, we're the official body shop of your Saskatchewan Rough Riders. Universal Collision Center, 3910 Rochdale Boulevard and 2355 First Avenue in Regina.
Bronco Plumbing and Heating has been servicing Regina and surrounding areas since 1978. At Bronco, we service all makes and models of furnaces, air conditioners, water heaters, and water softeners. Bronco also provides full sewer service, plumbing service, and duct cleaning. Call Bronco Plumbing and Heating today at 306-781-2090. Proud sponsor of the Rod Peterson Show.
Yeah.
Locally owned and family operated, Emerald Water, refreshing the Rod Peterson Show. From reverse osmosis to natural alkaline and distilled water, they are perfect for your home and office. Saskatchewan's number one source for commercial alkaline with natural electrolytes and minerals that are better for your body. Naturally occurring magnesium, calcium, bicarbonate, and potassium are amazing for your health. Trust 30 years of experience and drink water that matters from Emerald Water.
If you're looking for radio that's got a great message, well, we've got it. LTD Radio plays the best of the 60s to the 90s, all with amazing stories about people right from your community. You can listen live right now at ltdradio.com, iTunes, Streama, and TuneIn. LTD Radio, music to build a better day.
Saskatchewan Snow Beef is the highest quality beef you will find, bred, born, and raised in Saskatchewan. Snow Beef is the result of crossbreeding full-blood Wagyu males with Holstein females. Much like a fine wine, when given the proper care and diet, the Snow Beef genetics develop superior marbling and flavor. The culmination of these efforts is the best beef you can get in Saskatchewan. Saskatchewan Snow Beef is available at Crave Kitchen and Wine Bar on Victoria Avenue in Regina, Little Red's Market Cafe in Mortlock, Saskatchewan, or take some home to your own grill by purchasing it at Local and Fresh, 1377 Hamilton Street in Regina. For more information, follow them on Facebook or Instagram at Sask Snow Beef.
Oh yeah, he's back. Time for more of the Rod Peterson Show.
All right, welcome back, everybody. On this Monday morning, Mike Abomeshrick and Brett McNeil in studio as we recap Week 17 in the CFL. We can take a look at Week 5 in the NFL as well if you want. How about another Monday night Browns primetime matchup? Cleveland Browns at the San Francisco 49ers tonight, taking on the 3-0 Niners. TSN has the game. 6:20 Mountain Time kickoff.
You mean America's team, Cleveland Browns?
Yeah, right. Not yet. They got a lot to prove first. Win a Super Bowl, let alone five. Anyways.
Or don't suck.
Where was I? Baseball. Russell Martin of the Dodgers can advance to the NLDS tonight. They need a win in game four against the Expos to move on. Russell Martin homered and drove in four runs last night as the Dodgers beat the Montreal Expos 10-4 for a 2-1 lead in the best-of-five series. The Atlanta Braves can finish off their NLDS with a win in St. Louis tonight. They rallied for a 3-1 win over the Cardinals last night to take a 2-1 lead in the best-of-five. Game five, if needed, will be back in hot Atlanta on Wednesday. The Yankees are a win away from the American League Championship Series. They play game three of their AL Division Series tonight against the Twins. In Minnesota, in the wild card, Tampa Bay Rays are facing another elimination game tonight. They host game three of their ALDS against the Houston Astros, down 0-2 in the best of five. The Maple Leafs will look to bounce back from their first loss of the season when they host the defending Stanley Cup champion St. Louis Blues tonight. Toronto coming off a shootout loss, an absolute implosion in Montreal on Saturday. St. Louis 1-0-1 in the first two games of the
title. Who knew you couldn't throw a stick at a guy?
Yeah, no kidding.
Who knew?
That's not in the rules.
What? You can't do that in hockey?
That is your Monday morning sports update. Not compiled by Connor the intern. He called in sick today. So compiled by the Canadian Press and brought to you by Ballers Rec Room, Regina's newest entertainment destination. Mike Abomeshrick and Brett McNeil in studio. As I said, just some other CFL thoughts because we've covered the Bombers and the Riders and the Stamps a little bit. I think we should talk about the Argos. How much did you guys watch of that debacle the other night, 55-8 in BC? It was so hard to watch. You're taking where the Argos are. Either one of you.
They're horrible. Horrible. They get it. They're just horrible.
They beat Winnipeg.
Came back and beat Winnipeg.
Even a blind nut gets a squirrel once in a while.
Been reading a lot of coverage of that Argos game. The longtime Argos supporters. And yes, folks, there is such a thing. Mm. They do have their fans. They do. Just not enough of them. But they've said that was one of the most lopsided and embarrassing losses in their 135 years of existence. Like, it was that bad. And my question is, what does that say, Brett? I'll go to you. Does it say something about the coach? Does it say something about the GM? A lot of the players, if you watched it, looked at their body language. I hate saying players quit. It looked like a lot of them quit.
Yeah, I mean, it's been a tough a tough period of time in Toronto since winning a Grey Cup 2 short years ago.
Hard to believe, isn't it?
You know, an epic win against the Stamps in Ottawa, where it snowed for 3 hours straight because I was sitting there. You know, super exciting victory. But I mean, you know, that they Calgary grasped defeat in the arms of victory there with that late fumble and all of that that happened. But to see, you know, Coach Trestman fired 1 year later, I knew things were going to go south after that happened. When you take your Grey Cup winning coach in the following season, you fire him, maintain the same general manager and Pop, and then bring in or elevate Corey Chamberlain, you know, who has had great success in his time with Saskatchewan. He was a defensive coordinator for that Grey Cup winning team. But, I mean, they haven't committed to a quarterback. You know, James Franklin was supposed to be the heir apparent to Ricky Ray. You know, he has not developed for whatever reason. You have a guy who was a journeyman in Bethel Thompson who was starting to look like he was figuring it out, and then all of a sudden you give him the hook and you go back to Franklin. That move is a head-scratcher. If they had committed to Bethel Thompson after what he did against the Bombers, showing that he can drive a team down the field on the last series of the game against a heck of a defense and win, I would have rode him all the way for the rest of the season, and then maybe dangled Franklin on a trade. You have Caleros. You don't know what situation is going to be with Zach going forward. I mean, I think they want to give him the year off, reevaluate him, maybe you take another run at Zach. But I mean, it's got to be disheartening for that team to play in front of an empty stadium every week. And that's not an excuse, but it is reality. You're playing professional football. You know, a lot of your roster are guys that, you know, they came out of the U.S., either in the NFL or NCAA Division I. You come out each and every week and you play in front of an empty park. It's tough. Then you go to BC where, you know, you have sort of a similar atmosphere. But you're playing against one of the best quarterbacks in the game. You know, turnovers, sacks, the momentum flips. We're at 17-0 really before you get the ball on offense. And it's hard to dig out of a hole when you have a mindset in your locker room of here we go again. And it's between the ears, but that's the way it is, right? The difference between winning and losing is so small that if you have a confidence issue, those easy mistakes compound. And you might be able to brush it off when things are going well, but when things aren't, they magnify.
I think that's absolutely, it's in the locker room. I think the coaching staff is, they got to get you up for games in an empty park, for games that are 0-1 whatever. Chame, I mean, what's his record over the, I know there's people that love him. I know, I'm not blaming him because he's a good coach for a good team. You bring in Phil Jackson to win a championship. You don't bring in Phil Jackson with a bunch of scrubs to do a rebuild. And that's what they're asking Chame to do. That's what he does. When there's a fire, he puts something else out there. That's what, when Jordan's off, he puts in Pippen, you know. Not when scrub is off, you put in another scrub, you know. That's Chame. He's a championship caliber coach. He's not a rebuilder. And that's what they're asking him to do. It's not fair for him.
No.
His record's 0-99 over the last 100 games.
I saw he's lost 26 of 28, I think is what I saw. But here's my thing. He did come in here for a rebuild. What are you giving me that for?
That's 2 years. That's 2 years in football world.
Fair enough. He didn't have a quarterback in either place. That's the thing to compile that record. So he came here in 2012. He took over a 5-13 team, took him to a 10-win team and a playoff team, and that was his first year was 2012. Went to Calgary and lost in the West semifinal. His next year was 2013. The super team, and I understand all of that, and that's where I want to go with you guys. He did win the championship in 2013. In Toronto, he loses Ricky Ray. Mark Trestman lost Ricky Ray. The Bombers have lost Matt Nichols, and look what happened. You can't win without a quarterback. So they're asking Chame to rebuild the team without a quarterback. Here, at least, he had Darian Durant.
I think that's Toronto.
That's the difference.
Toronto not understanding their market, not understanding the CFL. The Argos not understanding what needs to be done. Toronto doesn't want to do a rebuild. They want to win the championship.
A patch. They want a patch job.
It's still professional sports. You don't just, I want to win this year and do it. You got to build. You got to suck for a little bit.
Well, and it's interesting to see, you know, the team that put the whipping on them 4 weeks ago were in the same position. But if you notice, I mean, Clay Brooks was just, you know, he was so frustrated. But, you know, the atmosphere was, we're just going to keep fighting. We're going to one play at a time. We're going to keep fighting. We're better than this record. And when they got up on Toronto, they put their foot down on their throats. You know, the late, great Cal Murphy used to say at halftime when we were up on an opponent, we got him in the coffin, corpse in the coffin. Now we got to start nailing that lid shut on it. And you have to be merciless. You have to be cutthroat in professional sports because don't allow that comeback. Look at the Winnipeg Jets down 4-0 the other night. They come back and win. You're going to fight till the end. So where BC is fighting till the end and right now is the most dangerous team in the league because they are playing for nothing. They're playing for their coach. They're playing for each other. Toronto doesn't have that same mindset, and I believe it's because the constant personnel change in that lineup. They can't back anybody.
And I got to go back to Winnipeg. You got your Bomber alumni jacket on. They had the 21-point lead in Montreal, and they didn't put their foot on the Al's throat. That's the same team that just beat Calgary in that same venue. That's the thing with Winnipeg. I mean, if they're as good as not only we all thought they were going into the year, but as good as they all told us they were, weren't they 5-0, 6-0?
Yep.
Should you not be able to withstand the loss of your number one quarterback if you have a capable guy that you believe in Chris Drevler? Like that to me, the loss in Montreal for Winnipeg was the most devastating loss of the year. Not any of these other of their six. That said a lot to me, Brett.
It was a big one. And, you know, losing your starter it's devastating. And, you know, I can compare it to 1993. We had a 14-4 season with Winnipeg that year. We had beat the Edmonton Eskimos by over 50 points twice. So we put up over 50 points with Matt Dunnigan as our starter. We lose Matt in week 15, 16, right around there. Our backup, Sammy Garza, goes in. We make the Grey Cup, but we had to scratch and claw to the Grey Cup that year. And in the big game against the Eskimos, we were down 17-0, very similar to what happened to the Argos. Down 17-0 by the time we had got our second possession due to turnovers. And we were scratching and clawing. We fell short in that game. But without your star player, without your franchise quarterback, it's always going to be a test of depth. It's going to be a test of metal. It's going to be a test of your defense. Your defense has to pick up where the offense may be lacking. And yes, Winnipeg right now are reeling a little bit, but you know their head coach, Mike O'Shea's got a few rings in his closet there. He did, you know, he's part of those back-to-back Toronto teams, 96-97, who I think were some of the best CFL teams ever. And they also won another one in 04 with Damon. And he knows how to win the Grey Cup. He knows how to get it done. He's got to get his team back on track in an environment where those guys definitely their future is in their hands. And I know that there was a lot of controversy around Andrew Harris, but I don't see him getting the ball enough. You know, that would take a lot of pressure off of Chris Streveler if they would use Andrew Harris, because no one stopped him yet. The kid is having a heck of a season, and they need to rely on that horse more than they are.
You know, it's interesting, though. That reminds me of Kevin Lowe reminding Oilers fans that he had five Stanley Cup rings when he was president of the Oilers. And it's like, that was when you were a player.
Yeah.
Right? I know Osh and Abu's going to jump over the table here and throw me to the ground, but not as a head coach, he doesn't. And you know that's different.
Sure, sure.
You know that's different.
And, I look at my playing career, we were Grey Cup finalists three times and probably should have won two out of those three, shoulda, woulda, coulda. But as a coach, when I went over to the University of Manitoba as offensive line coach, I was in Brian Dobie's ear about how we lost those cups. So here's how we lost them. Here's how we're going to win them. And that's where the experience comes. Now that I know how to win one, like we did in 07, we won the Vanier Cup at Manitoba in a perfect season. As a coach now, I am more dangerous than I was as a player. As a player, you only control your assignment. As a coach, you control your position group. As a coordinator, your whole side of the ball. And then as a head coach, the whole team. So, yeah, he has won it as a coach, as special teams coordinator in Toronto. I'm a big believer in Osh. You know, we were combatants for most of my 12 years, and I believe in him. I think he's done a heck of a job over there, along with Kyle Walters and Wade Miller. And they're still in it, so don't take them lightly.
Right,
would be my point.
Well, he does things the right way, for sure. He does. We know that, and I feel terrible for them, but it is what it is. And yeah. There are rumors now that he wants to head back to Toronto and potentially coach the Argos. Now, you must have heard that.
I saw that on. I didn't hear it till I read it on Twitter. On your feed, so
sorry.
Osh wants to go back to Toronto. I don't know any Easterner that once they're in Winnipeg, you're a lifer.
Yeah, you're not leaving.
I grew up in Ottawa. I'm not leaving Winnipeg.
Look, apparently we got Damon Allen. I want a break so we don't, because we have Sarah Kalana coming up next hour. Mrs. John Rao. So he's saying we got to go now. So we got Damon joining us from Toronto. You guys throw your headphones on here right now, if you don't mind. Let's bring in Damon Allen from Toronto, Canadian Football Hall of Fame. There he is, looking great on this Monday.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Hey, we're doing awesome, Damon. Always good to talk to you. More importantly, how are you doing today?
I'm doing I'm very thankful that I woke up this morning. So you can't beat that at all. So in that sense, I'm very thankful, basically.
Well, anything after that is a bonus. Damon, the last time I saw you was Touchdown Atlantic in Moncton. We were all having a blast. Your Argos couldn't quite pull it out that day, but let's just go back a month. What was your recollection of that Touchdown Atlantic? What did you think of the whole weekend?
You know, I thought it was really good. I think what the league is trying to do, what the commissioner is trying to do, is really set the stage for the upcoming team, or the 10th team that will happen. And so we wanted to try to create that buzz, but the game itself ended up being a really good football game, which allowed the fans of Eastern, Nova Scotia and all
Maritimes,
those.
Maritimes.
The Maritimes, to be able to see some really good football. And the game was very exciting. So I was glad I had the opportunity to go down there and witness and see the fan participate in the excitement of the fans and their desire to want to have football down in that in the eastern side of the country.
Well, you did a little more than, well, actually you did a lot more than I did that weekend, because you went over to the Halifax area and you were running the pass, punt, and kick competitions. What was the vibe you got from the people all over that region about CFL football?
The vibe I got is, you know, there are CFL fans all across the country, and so, you know, when you start talking about having 10 teams, and there's been a number of our commissioners who have desired to have the 10th team, but really hasn't put the, you know, I think the legwork and everything that it takes to actually add the 10th team. The fact that our commissioner now has set the stage for that, now it's just a matter of, I believe they're going to get fans, and that's going to be no question. From Moncton to St. John to Halifax, and all those are going to support football down in the Maritimes. And so I think it has a really good, a great potential, very similar to Ottawa when they came back into the league, knowing that the way the system is placed, you'll be able to have a competitive football team right away if you put a team in.
Our producer, Clark, has put out the call to our viewers that have questions for you, Damon, and we've been flooded. One is from Nelson over at Phoenix. He says, can you ask Damon, what was it like playing CFL football in Memphis? What was that like?
It was really good. They gave me the key to the city. And it was very interesting because the field that where we played was not CFL size. And so they tried to maneuver and innovate and make a field very much CFL size, and it was very difficult. The challenges that were going on during that time in its expansion had more to do with scheduling and also the field size, but the football teams and the talent that came from those American teams was really amazing, because, you know, you wouldn't have the Anthony Cavillos and all these type of players that have been the CFL and played on other teams, and they started in the States. You know, Cavill, his first game with the Las Vegas Posse.
Yeah, we had some great ones. Eddie Davis comes to mind too. AC, you're right. And Aaron in Yorkton writes in and says, ask Damon about him almost coming to the Rough Riders. It's true. I asked you in Moncton, and you said that's not true. What is the story, Damon? Tell us today. Were you almost a Rough Rider?
I was very close to being a Rough Rider, and had more to do with coming down to dollars. it's a long story, but it's a short one as well when it comes to when I was in the equalization draft. Ottawa had the first pick, and Ottawa wanted to and called me and asked me would I come back to Ottawa, and I said yes, because you know, if you pick up my salary, my contract and all those things, of course I will come back to Ottawa. But a week later, the league called me and told me I was going to be a free agent. I was really kicked out of the equalization draft. And then so it ended up happening. The only teams I was dealing with at that time were the Western teams. But all the Western teams were offering the same money. So I knew that it was part collusion going on. And all the teams were talking to one another to try to keep the salary low. And I basically just refused to sign that deal due to the fact that I knew that all the teams in the league wouldn't come in first place. And so how I came to BC, they started the season 0-5. And Saskatchewan was the other team that I was also dealing with. And so, you know there's a situation and things are not right when every team in the Western Division are offering you the same deal.
Mike Abel-Meshrick's in here, says he's got a question for you.
hey, Damon. You see a lot of young quarterbacks these days getting thrown into starting positions your first year in Canada and just kind of drowned with how different the game is. My question, I mean, you played with a lot of great quarterbacks, like Hall of Fame quarterbacks earlier in your career. But how hard was it to pick up an extra, a bigger field like you're talking about, an extra man, you know, all the zones being different on
your
reads?
Yeah, how long did it take?
How hard was it?
It didn't take me very long because I was in the I went to Cal State Fullerton. I was in the PCAA conference, and it was the number one passing conference in the country. That's Long Beach State, Vegas, Pacific, Utah State, Fresno State. So I played against Tedford. who else? Todd Dillon. All those guys who were at one point were leading college football in passing. So I came from a pro-style offense, and I think the most difficult thing for a quarterback is if you don't come from a pro-style system and you don't understand the passing game, then it makes it very difficult because, you know, the CFL is a passing game. So if you don't come in those situations, don't have a really good grasp in the college level about the passing trees and triangle reads and anticipating the reads, then it makes it very difficult for quarterbacks to be able to come in our game and actually – try to learn the passing game, especially with the extra guy. And so the thing I really had to get used to was playing with 12 men instead of 11. But it balances out. I mean, so even I did a Twitter note early on a few weeks back. I was telling the quarterbacks, all you have to do is read the free safety. They'll dictate every coverage in the league because that extra guy who has a quarterback, everything else is balanced.
Damon,
so that's why quarterbacks have to read the quarterback.
We do have we got a flood of questions. We only got time for one more, and this is the one I think everybody wants to know your answer to. What is wrong with the Argos? What's your take?
Well, I mean, it takes time to, but you know, I think the one thing I can say, it holds true to any team in the league. This is a quarterback-driven league. And so if your quarterback doesn't play to the standard or the consistency on a regular basis, it's very difficult to win in our game. It shows the same way in the National Football League, but especially here in Canada. It's a quarterback-driven league, and you can look at all the teams and look at their quarterback play. The teams are have good quarterback play. Look what their record is. And that will tell you a lot about our game. But yes, it's a combination of a lot of things. If you can't score points and you can't stop anybody, then there's a lot of things you have to look at. They say the team, the Argos, is very talented, and I believe that that is true. They say the scheme is very good. The defense and the offensive scheme is very good. And I believe at times it has shown that it is true. So if you have a good scheme and you have talent, then you should win ball games.
And our director of scouting.
Agree?
Oh, yeah. Well, you guys agree? Lack of talent and scheme.
That's not happening. So what's not there? One, the other, or both?
Well, I'm saying that they do have – that's what they're saying. They have talent and they have good scheme. So, I mean, some things are just not equaling out, but then there's another different level. you know, when a football team has to trust one another, they got to play with energy. There's a sense of urgency. There's a variety of different things that come along with having a good scheme and talent, right? So there's just more to it, along with having really good quarterback play.
And our director of scouting, Craig Smith, has written in and says, how's the golf game, D.A.?
And my golf game is good. There's no problems there. That's because I put time in it and I put in the work to improve. But, I mean, that's in all sports. You got to put the time in. You got to dedicate yourself, not only mentally and physically, but, you know, all those things. And then you have to know how to play the game. And so, it's been a tough couple of years for the Argos, because last year I believe they were 4-14, I believe.
And, yep.
This year their record, based on how they finish, you know, could be worse. But I mean, I've been to practices where the team is playing very hard, working hard, all these different things. But then you have to look at all the other teams that have continued to get better each year too. So at the end of the day, being in a big market, you need a big name quarterback too.
Well, they can't keep firing coaches, but all signs point that they're gonna do that in a top to bottom house cleaning. But Damon, we could talk all day. Appreciate this. I'm sure we'll see you at Grey Cup. I appreciate your time today.
You too, guys. I mean, it was great talking to you. And sorry about that, you know, getting on. It was very difficult, but I finally, you know, we made it happen.
That was perfect. Now, thank you, Damon. A lot of stuff from Hall of Famer Damon Allen this morning on the Rod Peterson Show. We'll take a timeout. We'll be right back. You're watching on Facebook Live. Listen live at rodpeterson.com and catch our podcast at Apple Podcasts, Google Play Music, and iHeartRadio.
If you've been using an inefficient heating system for indoor or outdoor use, you might be surprised by the quality and comfort that zone-controlled infrared heaters offer. Heating Green's energy-saving infrared heaters transfer sun-like warmth directly to people and objects without noise or maintenance. Increase your comfort and decrease cost, room by room. Our silent infrared heaters are perfect for indoor and outdoor spaces. For greater comfort using less energy, contact us at heatinggreen.com.
Our biggest sale of the year has returned. The greatest auto sale is back at Capital GMC. We have over 1,000 new and used vehicles to choose from with savings up to $17,000. And for a limited time, we're offering finance rates as low as 0% on new and used vehicles. Buy or lease a new or used vehicle during the greatest auto sale for your chance to win your payments for a whole year. Run down, walk down, bust down, or fly down. Just get yourself down to Capital's greatest auto sale.
One of the things that I'm also running into lately is people who have been declined for marijuana use in the past.
Brian Baker with youareinsurable.ca.
Insurers will decline you for more than just your health. They'll decline you for your lifestyle. And in the past, any type of marijuana use over 2 grams a week is going to send red flags up to traditional insurers, because for those people who are suffering from chronic pain, other illnesses such as Crohn's colitis or depression for that matter, that have used marijuana as a treatment, they're probably using more than a couple of grams a week. Now we have legalized marijuana in the country, but don't expect the traditional insurers to have made that change to their underwriting policy. But I do have an insurer that will take care of the client.
If you've been declined due to cannabis, you are still insurable. Don't wait. Talk to Brian today. Brian specializes in finding critical illness, life, and disability insurance for hard-to-insure people just like you. Book your no-cost, confidential, risk-free consultation at youareinsurable.ca.
He's covering everything that matters to you. It's the Rod Peterson Show. Tune in live Monday to Friday, 10 a.m. to noon, to catch the show live and be a part of the action. Take control by commenting live and sharing the show with your friends. For more Rod Peterson on demand, visit rodpeterson.com.